Today's daf is Baba Basra daf Yud Dalid. We are holding on the bottom of daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the page, at Tanu Rabbanan. We're going to discuss today how much empty klaf is supposed to be left at the beginning and at the end of a scroll when you write a Sefer Torah. We're also going to discuss how large a Sefer Torah is supposed to be in terms of the ratio between the height of the Sefer Torah versus the circumference of the Sefer Torah. We probably didn't realize that there is an ideal ratio, but apparently there is an ideal ratio of the height to the circumference. The Gemara is going to talk about the Aron in the Beis HaMikdash, the size of the Aron, the contents of the Aron, exactly how everything fit in the Aron based on what we know about the size and the contents of the Aron. And then on Amud Beis, in the middle of the page, we're going to shift to a discussion of the Sifrei Tanakh, why the Sifrei Tanakh are in the order that they're in, and then ultimately who wrote the Sifrei Tanakh, each of the Sifrei Tanakh. So let's begin at the bottom of Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbanan, says the Braisa, Tanu Rabbanan, Arotzu L'dabek, Torah, Nevi'im, K'suvim, Ke'echad, Medabek. If someone wants to connect a Torah, Nevi'im, and K'suvim in a single scroll, he's certainly permitted to do so. Va'osa Barosho, that he should leave at the beginning of the scroll enough empty space that you could put one of the Yatzei Chaim that you will wrap around one of the amud that holds on to the klaf, that attaches to the klaf, and at the end you have to leave enough space for the empty klaf to wrap around the entire circumference of the rolled scroll. As Rashi points out, a lot of empty space, a large empty space, we're assuming that they're not making two separate amudim, one at the beginning and one at the end, so that it could roll toward the middle, kamo she'anu osin the Sefer Torah, the way we do for our Sefer Torah, that they would roll it from beginning to end, and therefore at the end you have to have an empty parchment that wrapped around the entire thing. Says the Braisa further, you finish one Sefer on the bottom of the Amud, then you begin the next Sefer on the top of the Amud, as we mentioned yesterday, without even skipping any spaces, because if it finishes on the bottom, you could start right away at the top. And if you ever want to cut apart the Torah from the Nevi'im, from the K'suvim, one is permitted to do that as well. So, frankly, Gemara, my Kamar, of course you're permitted to do that. That's even better. Meaning, we said the ideal is to have a Torah separately, a Nevi'im separately, and K'suvim separately. So, Hachi Kamar, She'im Balachto Chotech. Now, what it's explaining is the previous halacha. Why is it that Messiah Milamata, Maschil Lamala, that if you finish Torah Milamata, you could begin Nevi'im right away Milamala? Because if you're ever going to want to cut it, you're allowed to cut it, and it's in fact a great thing to do. But if you were to leave empty space in between them, if you were to leave empty space at the top of the column where you're going to start Nevi'im, it would look strange once you cut it apart from the Torah and it's its own independent scroll. So it's explaining she'im balachto chotech. Urimini says, "I'm going to ask you, Stira, Tchila Sefer V'Sofa K'day Lagul, that the beginning and the end of a Sefer, you're supposed to leave enough empty space to roll a little bit." But it seems like it's saying that at the beginning and the end you leave the same amount of empty space. It doesn't get specific about how much, but it seems that it's the same amount. Well, what is the amount that it's talking about? If it's just enough to wrap around one of the amudim, well then kasha hekif, then we have a problem, because we just said that it's supposed to be enough to wrap around at the end. It's supposed to be enough to wrap around the entire circumference of the rolled sefer. And if you say that the amount that we're identifying over here of empty space is the amount to wrap around the entire scroll, well then we have difficulty with the beginning of the Sefer, because we said that it was only supposed to be enough to wrap around the Amud. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak L'tzadin Katani, it means to say two separate things, that you leave enough empty space to wrap around. To wrap around what? Well, it depends. At the beginning it's to wrap around the Amud, and at the end it's enough to wrap around the the entire hekif of the scroll. Ravashi Amar Kitanya Hahi B'Sefer Torah. Ravashi says, no, this other Braisa is talking about a Sefer Torah. It's not talking about regular Svarim, other Svarim. Kedetanya, Kala Svarim Neglalim Mitchilas in the Sofan. It's true, all other Svarim have only one Amud at the beginning, and then they roll toward the end, and there is no other Amud at the end. So it makes sense what we've been saying until this point, that at the beginning you only need enough empty parchment to wrap around the Amud, and at the end you need enough to wrap around the whole thing. But for Sefer Torah, Niglal Emti Iso, we know how Sefer Torah are made. It's rolled toward the middle. Vosalo Amud Eilech Ve'Eilech, and there's an Amud on either side of the Sefer Torah. So the empty space you need at the beginning and end of the Sefer Torah is the same, because there's an Amud on both ends of the Sefer Torah. The Rimi Gash explains, why is it that a Sefer Torah is different than other Svarim? He says, because he says, first of all, it doesn't mean lemtiso mamish. It means wherever you stop reading, that's where you can leave it. That it doesn't have to be rolled back always all the way to the beginning. And the Rimi Gash says that the reason that a Sefer Torah is not niglal tchilaso is for kavod atzibur. If you were to have to roll it back to the beginning every time, so every time you take out the Torah to read, you're gonna have to be rolling the Sefer Torah while everyone's waiting around till you roll it to the right spot where everyone is gonna read from. Why is that other Svarim are Nigla L'Tchilasam? So the Rimi Gash says, because of the Chashivus of Kisvei HaKodesh, that if you were to be Golo L'Sofo, it would look like you're done reading it. So it's always Nigla L'Tchilasam, that's why the Amud's at the beginning, so it's always going to be rolled to the beginning of the Sefer, so that it always looks like you're about to begin learning. Now, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky was asked, well, don't you have the same Svara of Torah Chatzibur by Nevi'im as you do for Sifrei Torah? Meaning, if you're going to read the Haftarah from a klaf, you also need to pick up exactly from the spot where you want to read it, and it's going to be a tircha de tzibura to roll to the spot on the klaf where you're up to. So he just pointed out very pashut that no, by Sifrei Torah you always pick up from where you left off. That's the way we do it. But by Nevi'im, the Haftarah is in random places, so leaving it in the middle, you're going to have to be golel anyway. So that's why by Sifrei Torah we're golel emti, so, and by Nevi'im we're not. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok. And this is exactly how the Kosei Sarm Shev Yerushalayim used to make their Sifrei Torah. They would have two Amudim, one at either end, and it would be Golalem Tziiso. Tan Rabbanan, Enos in Sefer Torah, Lo Orcha Yosrael Akefo, Velo Akefo Yosrael Orcha. The ratio, there should be an exact ratio, a one-to-one ratio, of the height of the Sefer Torah, the length of the Sefer Torah, and the circumference of the Sefer Torah. Sha'alu as Rebbe, Shir Sefer Torah Bekama. How much should that be? Samalen Begvil Shisha. If you're writing a Sefer Torah on Gvil, it's a type of parchment, you're writing on Gvil, so try to plan it that it's going to be 6 Tvachim Tall, because ultimately if you write it properly the circumference is going to be 6 tvachim, and you want it to be an exact 1 to 1 ratio. Beklaf bekama, what if you're writing Sefer Torah on klaf, a different type of parchment, how much should you assume is going to be the circumference? Enio Dei says, I haven't gotten that figured out yet. Rav Huna kasav shivin sifrei da'oraisa v'lo esrami le'alachad. Rav Huna kept on trying over and over again. He wrote 70 sifrei Torah and only one worked out. What does it mean? They all worked out, but only one worked out that you had this exact ratio of the orcho le'akefo. Rav Acha bar Yaakov kasav chad amashki de'igli. Rav Acha bar Yaakov wrote one sefer on calfskin v'esrami le, and he got it right on the first try. He hit the bullseye. He got it exactly right on the first try. So Yav be Rabban Einayu v'nach nafshe. The Rabban gave him like an ayin hara, and he died. That was there was too much luck that he had. They got so jealous of him, so he got an ayin hara for having gotten it on the first try. The Rabbeinu Gershom writes that they were mekanehim, that they were jealous of him. Chaznish explains that misodos habriya. The Chaznish writes in Likutim Simul Chavalif misodos habriya ki ha'adam b'machshavaso humaniya gormim nistarim ba'olam ha'ma'aseh u'machshavaso akala tuchal l'shamish goreim l'heres l'chorban shel gesham mutzakim. That he says that a person's mind has incredible power. That here they weren't trying to kill him. It was just a metzius that they had this ayin hara, and the ayin hara caused this physical death of one of the amoraim. The Chassam Sofer says no, they were choshed that he did it using the Shem Hashem. That there's no way he was able to do this with natural means, and that he was using some sort of meaning that this was a punishment. They thought he was using some sort of forbidden, spiritual forces that he wasn't supposed to be using to be mishtamish b'shemus hakadoshim in such a way. So that's why nasan b'aneim v'nach nafshe. And he says that it says in. So it says in Maseches Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Gimel, Udishtamish B'Tag Chalav, and Bar Tanur says that a kavana that means that someone is mishtamish b'shem ha-mefarash, that we're not supposed to be mishtamish b'shem ha-mefarash. So except Bar Tanur says Chalav means that he doesn't have a chelik l'olam haba. It doesn't mean that he's going to die right here and now. But anyway, that's they thought that he was using the Shem Hashem. That's how the Chassam Sofer understands. So Amar Le Rabban Rav Amnuna, Kasev Rabbi Ami Dalin Meya Sifrei Torah. The Rabban told Rav Amnuna, Rabbi Ami wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. How does a person live so long to write 400 Sifrei Torah? Seems impossible. Some of the who, Dilma Torah Tzivalanu Moshe Kasav. Maybe he wrote 400 times the Pasuk, Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, but it's impossible that anyone, a human being, wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. Why is Torah Tzivalanu Moshe called Sifrei Torah? Says Tosos, Dilma Torah Tziva, Va'omer Rabbein Etam, Da'oso Pasuk Karei Torah, Kedam Perikimul Desuka, Katana Yadei L'daber, Avim Lamdo Torah, My Torah, Torah Tzivalanu Moshe. We do find elsewhere in Chazal that this pasuk of Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe is called Torah, because we say that when a child is Yodei L'daber, as soon as he knows how to speak, the father should already be teaching him Torah. What does it mean already be teaching him Torah? He's just saying his first few words. How are you going to teach him Torah? He's not going to be able to intellectually understand any parts of Torah. No, it means once he's able to say words, make sure that those words are holy words, like Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. And that's what we call being Melamed Torah. It's a question whether this should be taken in Lahalacha, that Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe is called Torah. Because if you look at the next line of the Gemara, Amalei Rav Rabbi Zeira, Nata Rabbi Yanai Arba Mea Karmi, Rabbi Yanai planted 400 vineyards, Amalei Dilma Shtayim Keneged Shtayim V'Achas Yotzei Zanav. Maybe it was just two vines by two vines with one vine sticking out at the bottom. And that's what we call a vineyard, and that's why he was able to plant 400 vineyards. That is enough Kamina Lamaisa, because for Kilei HaKerem, that it's only an issue of Kilei HaKerem when you have an actual vineyard. So that's the halachic definition of a vineyard. So what's the nafkamina halach lemaisa in saying that the pasuk Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe is called Torah? Well, we saw that you're supposed to teach your child that. Yeah, but that's not that. It just happens to be that we refer to it as Torah there. Lemay nafkamina that it's considered Torah. So the Yad Rama over here in this sugya says that you see that if a person writes just that pasuk in a kosher sefer Torah, it's ki'ilu that he was kosev a sefer Torah. So if a person commissions the writing of a sefer Torah, very often they'll leave a few letters that the person who commissioned it should be able to write. So some are knowing that, most are knowing they leave a few letters at the end. Some are knowing that they should leave the Beis of Bereshis and the Lamed at the end, and that the person who wrote it writes the first letter and the last letter. So some of the Acharon point out, maybe better than that would be to tell the sofer to leave out Tzoret Tziva Lanu Moshe, leave out that pasuk, and that way the person who commissioned it will write that pasuk, and it's ki'ilu that he wrote the Sefer Torah, because that maybe that's the nafkamina lemaisa in saying that Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe is called Torah. So, frankly, Gemara Meisvei, we're going to ask one long question over here. Here we just said that the size of an ideal Sefer Torah is 6 tfachim of circumference. So we're going to go through in great detail how everything that had to fit in the Aron, in the Beis HaMikdash, managed to fit, including the Sefer Torah, and based on the size of what was the amount of space left for before the Sefer Torah in the Aron, it's going to turn out not to work out so well to figure out the ideal Sefer Torah. Meisve, Aron Shasa Moshe, the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made, we know in Chumash it says how big it was. Amasayim v'chetzi arko, 2.5 amos of length, amah v'chetzi rachbo, 1.5 amah of width, v'amah v'chetzi kamaso, and 1.5 amos of height. We're not really going to be dealing so much with the height, we're going to be more focused on the length of the width. And we're assuming ba'ama bas shisha tefachim. We're assuming that when we talk about an ama, we mean a six tefach ama. There are two types of amos. There are six tefach amos and five tefach amos. Amos of binyan and amos of kelim. So we're assuming right now that the type of ama that we're talking about is a six tefach ama. And therefore, when we say that the length was 2.5 amos, what we mean is 15 tefachim. We're gonna have to turn everything into tefachim in order to make these cheshbonos. Va'luchos, the luchos themselves were orchan shisha v'rachvan shisha. Each of the luchos was a square. It was a block. It wasn't, with the way we often picture it, with the curvature of the dot. There were blocks, six tefachim by six tefachim cubes. Not cubes, because va'avyan shlosha, and the width was three tefachim. Munachos keneged archo shel aron, and they were placed along the length of the aron. So kama luchos achos ba'aron shemar tefachim. How much space do two luchos side by side take up in the aron? 12 tefachim. If each one is 6 tefachim, they take up 12 of the 15 tefachim of the entire length of the aron. So nishtarisham shlosh tefachim. You're left with 3 extra tefachim of space along the length. Same and tefach. When we say that the aron was 2.5 amos long, it means from outer wall to outer wall. So you have to give a little bit of space for the actual thickness of the walls of the aron itself. So that's why you have to take tefach away from the thickness of the walls, a half a tefach on each side. So nishtayrusham shnei tefachim. So doing the math, we now have 2 extra tefachim of empty space in the aron itself along the length. Shebehen sefer Torah munach. That's where the Sefer Torah was placed in the Aron. Shneimar ein ba'aron rak shnei luchos ha'avanim asher iniach shel Moshe v'gomer. My ein ba'aron rak. It says all you had in the Aron was the two luchos, but it's a double negative. Ein ba'aron rak. So what does it mean? Ein ba'aron rak. That's what we call a miut achar miut vein miut achar miut el rabos. It's a double miut. Whenever you have a double miut, it's always coming to be marbis something. It's always coming to include something. El rabos sefer Torah shemunach be'aron. It's coming to include the sefer Torah was also in the aron. So even though we said ein ba'aron rak the luchos, it means the luchos plus the sefer Torah. So those two extra tefachim were taken up by the sefer Torah. The Bryce just parenthetically adds that Pirnasta Aron Learcho, you've explained very nicely how everything, every last bit of space along the length of the Aron was used up. But how do you explain the width of the Aron? So Kamaluchos Ochlos Ba'aron, along its width, how much space did the Luchos take up in the Aron? Shisha Tfachim, 6 Tfachim, Nishtairusham, 3 Tfachim, which means that if along its width it was 1.5 amos wide, the Aron, so 1.5 amos is 9 Tfachim, the Luchos only took up 6 Tfachim, you're left with 3 more Tfachim. Certainly you need to subtract 1 tefach for the thickness of the walls themselves. Nishtayrusham shnei tefachim. And that leaves you with 2 tefachim. Shaloye sefer Torah nichnas v'yotzei. The reason you have those extra 2 tefachim is because when you need to wiggle the Sefer Torah in and out of the Aron, you need a little bit of space in order to get, you can't fit exactly perfectly, you need a little bit of space to reach in, to be able to get the Aron, to be able to get the Sefer Torah in and out of the Aron. If you look at Tosos, Shalei Sefer Torah Yosef Nuxus Shudach Vim Tomar, he says, when were they ever taking the Sefer Torah out of the Aron? They were never in the Kodesh HaKadoshim except for Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. Go through the entire Avodah of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim. You will never find the part where he takes the Kaporas off of the Aron and reaches in and takes out the Sefer Torah. It doesn't happen. So what do you mean that we need to leave space to be able to wiggle the Sefer Torah out? Shari. Much like we say that you're not allowed to ever go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but they were allowed to go in order to be Masakin, in order to fix the walls, in order to, so they would lower them in, on the workers in boxes, and but sometimes, you know, for upkeep, you had to go. So in order to be Masakin, it was permitted the Kodesh space Kodesh HaKadoshim, because Armin and Be'erivin, Vachinam, Yechalin the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Sefer Torah, Kodesh HaKadosh HaKadosh. Every once in a while, I guess they had to check the Sefer Torah, and they had to treat it, they had to make sure that it was intact. There was also some time in between. After Mishkan Shiloh, before they built the Beis HaMikdash, there was some time where there was no Kodesh HaKadoshim. So people had access to the Aron. So whoever had access to the Aron, at that point there was no Isser. They were able to take things in and out. Now, if you look in the back of the Gemara, the Achronim in the back of the Gemara aren't so sure that Tosfos Kasha is such a Kasha. The Rashash writes, "Im kol zeh rayasa midlo ashkechan ein araya." He says the fact that you don't find it in Seder Yoma doesn't mean that it never happened, because it could be the whole Seder Yoma is only describing what they did in Bayesheni. Maybe at other points in history they in fact were able to take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron. Okay, maybe not. But says the Gemara further, that is all Shitas Reb Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ba'amabas chamisha tfachim. He radically changes the entire picture. When we describe the Aron being 2.5 amos by 1.5 amos, we're describing not 6 tefachim amos, but 5 tefach amos. So therefore, when we say 2.5 amos, what we really mean is the entire length of the Aron was 12.5 tefachim. It's going to be a lot more difficult to fit 2 luchos and the Sefer Torah in that, obviously. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda is going to have to adjust. Va'luchos archan shisha v'rachman shisha va'avyon shlosha. The luchos, we got the size correct. We're 6 by 6 by 3. Munachos ba'archos shel Aron. And they were placed side to side along the length of the Aron. So the luchos in fact took up 12 tefachim of the 12.5 total of the length of the Aron. Nishtayr shem chatzi tefach, all you're left with is a chatzi tefach. We're assuming thinner walls. Etzba lekosel zeh ve'etzba lekosel zeh. Previously we assumed that the walls take up a total of a thickness of a tefach. We simply don't have that space left over here. All we have is a half a tefach, so we have to assume that both walls together only took up a half a tefach, and etzba for each wall, because a tefach is 4 etzbos, and etzba is the thickness of one's thumb, so a tefach is 4 etzbos long. We often think of a tefach like this, so when you make a fist, the width of these 4 fingers plus the height of the thumb. So we assume the width of the skinnier fingers plus the height of the thumb equals the width of 4 thumbs, because the thumb is a little bit wider. So that's why we assume etzba in each of thickness for each wall, which means a total of a half a tefach for the thickness of the walls. So as well as pirnasta aron learcho. So now we've explained every last bit of space along the length of the aron. Say a parnes aron learchbo. How do you explain the width of the aron? So kamaluchos ochlos ba aron. Changes on the side ochlos ba aron. How much space do the luchos take up in the aron? Shisha tfachim, 6 tfachim. So again, if it was 1.5 tfachim and the tfachim are defined as 1.5 amos and the amos are defined as 5 tefach amos, it's a total of 7.5 tefachim wide. 6 tefachim of that was taken up by the luchos. Nishtayr sham tefach u'mechza. So you're left with 1.5 more tefachim. Tzeme en chatzi tefach, so a half a tefach, you say etzba l'kos zeh ve'etzba l'kos zeh, right? So etzba u'mechza l'kos zeh ve'etzba u'mechza l'kos zeh. It shouldn't be that. It changes the gears on the side. Tzeme en chatzi tefach etzba l'kos zeh ve'etzba l'kos zeh, not u'mechza. An etzba for each wall, which takes up a half a tefach. Nishtayr sham tefach, that still leaves 1 tefach along the width. Shebo amudin omdin. That's where the amudim stood. They had these amudim in the Aron. How do I know? Shenemar apirion asala mel shlomo me'atzi alavonon amudov asa kesef fidaso zav merkava argaman v'gomer. That there was these amudim that were placed in the Aron. As Rashi points out, beiz amude kesef kemin amude sefer Torah shochvim la'orcho. There were 2 amudim similar to the amudim of a sefer Torah. Torah, made out of silver, that were lying across the length, va'aluchos peineim, and the luchos were in between them. Shenemar amud masakesef. So the point is, the luchos were not pushed up against the wall of the back or the front wall of the Aron. There were amudim along the sides next to the luchos. So and these amudim were made out of silver. Says Tosos, these amudim were made out of silver near the Rabbeinu Tam. The simin la'amadas Yisrael haya, that these amudim were a simin for ha'amadas Yisrael, for the survival of the Jewish people. V'lo asotim shel zahav, why did they make them out of silver, not out of gold? Shelo lahaskir maisa egel, dein kategar nasa senegar, because we don't want to bring up the maisa egel, we don't want to bring to mind the maisa egel, because of the famous principle from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, ein kategar nasa senegar, that the egel azav is certainly a bad memory for Klal Yisrael. We'd rather not elicit such memories in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that's the very reason why the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippurim doesn't wear Big Day Zav. So the Gemara over there asks, it's a Gemara's Kasha, but the Aron is made out of gold, and that was Lufnai Vilufnim. What happened to Ein Kategor Nasa Snegar? And the Gemara says, no, you're not allowed to use something out of gold as a Mechaper. You know, something that's a Kli that just happens to be there can be gold. But it's not, you're not allowed to take something that you're approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu with and saying, Hashem, forgive me, look, here's all this gold. That's not, that would be a bad thing. So the Aron itself is just a Kli in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why the simin la'amadas Yisrael is so important, because we view that as if it's a mechaper. The amudim or the aron is not a mechaper. The amudim are a mechaper, and therefore they cannot be made out of gold. There's a piyut for Pesach that says Tavnis Os Yosef Amud Avasa Kesef. B'shvil Tavnis Os Yosef Simin Shel Yosef. What is the simin of Yosef? Dainu Egel. The Yosef Nikra Shor. Shnemar B'chor Shor Hadrlo. Yosef is called a Shor. Egel is the simin of Yosef. So we say Tavnis Os Yosef, we mean a Shor. L'chol Amud Avasa Kesef V'lo Zav Shlo Laskev Maisa Egel. Because of the Tavnis Os Yosef, because of the Egel, we're careful that all the amudim are made out of kesef, not made out of zahav. This is a further sugya, Masechta Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara discusses, is it really only lefnai v'lefnim that we have this concern of ein kategar nasa senegar? The context of the Gemara was that you're not supposed to use the keren shalpara as a shofar, because ein kategar nasa senegar. And when we blow shofar, it's not lefnai v'lefnim. So the Gemara says that since we're coming to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a karun kasi, that it's considered kilufinim dummy. It's all the tefillos that we have. That's probably referring to the shofar as a tefillah, as a form of tefillah. And tefillah always goes derech the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's why when we daven, we face toward Yerushalayim. If one's in Yerushalayim, they face toward the Makom Kodesh HaKadoshim. The tefillah always goes derech the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's mamish considered kilufinim dummy, and therefore it's the idea of Ein Kategor Nasa Snegar is operative. We even have in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that Ein Kategor Nasa Snegar, therefore, a person shouldn't use old Sifrei Avodah Zarah, even if the writing of Avodah Zarah is taken away, is gone, is erased, shouldn't use it to publish Sidurim on such paper, on recycled paper from Sifrei Avodah Zarah. Why? We're not Lefnim? No, but it's Tefillah. Tefillah is always Kelefnim Dami. So that's Ein Kategar Nasa Sanegar. So says the Gemara further, Va'argish Shashigru Bo Plishtim Doron Elokei Yisrael Munach Mitzido. The Plishtim sent a box when they sent back the Aron after they had the Aron in captivity, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put them through a whole series of exercises because of that, and it wasn't so pleasant for them. So when they sent back the Aron, they sent a box along with it, and they kept that box in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right next to the Aron. Shemar Veskle Azov Asher Yishivosim Lov Asim Tasimu Ba'argez Mitzido V'Shlachtam Oso V'Halach V'Alov Sefer Torah Munach. And on that box they put the Sefer Torah, meaning according to Rabbi Yehuda, there was no room in the Aron for the Sefer Torah. So the Sefer Torah had to be placed next to the Aron on this box. Shnemar Lekoach Sefer Torah Zeh V'Samtam Oso Mitzad Aron Bris Hashem Mitzadu Munach V'Lo B'Tocho, that it was placed on the side of the Aron, not in the Aron. Umani Mekayim Ein Ba'Aron Rak. What do I do with the double miut? We said Ein Ba'Aron Rak L'Lucho, so we said that was a riboy to say that the Aron was in there, as that the Sefer Torah rather was in there as well. L'Rabos Shivrei L'Lucho Shemana. Menachem Baron. That's to teach us that the Shibrei Luchos were also placed in the Aron. Says Rashi, Tachas HaLuchos, underneath the Luchos. Not that they just threw them on top, but that they were underneath. The Luchos that are intact have greater Kedusha, so some of the Luchos that are intact have to go on top of the Shibrei Luchos, because that which has greater Kedusha is supposed to go on top, as we discussed in Tosfos yesterday, about putting a Navi on top of a Torah, and things of that nature. So the Shibrei Luchos are on the bottom. So now the question is finally over. Now we're finally going to ask the question that we brought this whole thing in for. What did we start this whole conversation with? What's the ideal size of a Sefer Torah? So if you make it 6 tefachim of height, that way you'll have a perfect one-to-one ratio of height to circumference. The circumference will also be exactly 6 tefachim. So presumably that's exactly what they did with the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that it was 6 tefachim of circumference. Now this 6 tefach Sefer, circumference 6 tefach Sefer, had to fit in the Aron, according to Rav Meir, in the Aron itself, next to the Luchos. How much space did it have? Exactly 2 tefachim of space. Let's see if that works. Says the Gemara, pi is roughly 3. Roughly. But we assume that any time you have 3 tefachim of circumference, that's 1 tefach of diameter. So if you're going to have 6 tefachim of circumference, you're going to have 2 tefachim of diameter. So how much space in the Aron will a Sefer Torah that has a circumference of 6 tefachim take up? 2 full tefachim, right? But the problem is, this isn't rolled as one circle, as one scroll. We just said that Sefer Torah are rolled with 2 amudim, they're rolled toward the middle. So there's some empty space, there's some airspace in between the 2 smaller circles that are rolled together with each other. There was a little bit of extra space because we don't roll the Sefer as one circle. We roll it as 2 circles toward the middle. So if it's going to take up a little more than 2 tefachim, how does something that takes up a little more than 2 tefachim fit into a space that is exactly 2 tefachim? And the math doesn't work out. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Sefer Azara litchilaso hu niglal. No, they would actually roll that Sefer entirely litchilaso. Remember, what was the whole reason we roll Lam Tzi Iso? The Rimigash said, because you got to pick up where you left off last time to read. It's going to be a Tircha de Tzibura every time you take out the Sefer that you have to roll the whole thing. Well, every time they took out the Sefer, never happened, as we pointed out before. They never took out the Sefer, so didn't you don't have to worry about it. And they certainly didn't read from the Sefer regularly. So you don't have to worry about that issue. So they would always roll it entirely as a single circle. Vakati trei b'trei hechiyasev. But still, 2 tefachim doesn't fit into 2 tefachim. It's too much of a squeeze. You don't want to, you need a little bit of wiggle room. You need a little bit of space. So Amar Vashi, tekarach beporta vekarachi le'el. For that, we assume they didn't roll it entirely. They left some of it unrolled and had it stick out on the other side of the luchos, where there was some space on the across the width of the Aron. Rabbi Yehuda, Mikami Delesi Argus Sefer Torah, Hechi Aviyasev, Mikami Delesi Argus Sefer Torah, Hechi Aviyasev. So now Rabbi Yehuda's Shita was that the Sefer Torah was not in the Aron. The Sefer Torah was next to the Aron. And where was it? On the box that the Plishtim sent. And before the Plishtim gave us this gift of the box, where was the Sefer Torah? Well, was it put on the floor? What would they have done? So Dapa Avanafik Mine, Viasvilave Sefer Torah. They had like a platform, they had a board that stuck out, and they put the Sefer Torah on that. Rab Meir, Hai Mitzad Aron, my Avadai. What does Rameir do with the phrase Mitzad Aron, right? Rameir said the Sefer Torah was in the Aron, but the Pasuk says Mitzad Aron. What does he do with that? It's just trying to tell us where in the Aron it was in reference to the Luchos. That it wasn't in between the Luchos, it was next to both Luchos. Uliolam Begavei Minatzad. But it was inside, it was just Minatzad inside, as opposed to being right in the middle, in between the Luchos. According to Rameir, you know, we figured out the whole width, how the Luchos fit exactly across the width of the Aron. What about the Amudim? Where did the Amudim go in the Aron? Says the Gemara, Mavra'i. According to Rameir, Enochinami, the Amudim had to fit outside of the Aron. Says Tosos, Afal pi sheyesh revach harbe l'Rameir, b'kol ha'orech, levad mineged Sefer Torah, That even though he says that l'chora, according to our mayor, there's a lot of space across the length, aside from where it was, aside from right across from the Sefer Torah, where they had the extra scroll rolled out, it had to be that the amudim were right next to the Sefer Torah, right next to where the Sefer Torah were. So that's why you have to say that the amudim were on the outside. Rav Meir, shivrei luchos to Menachem b'Aron minalei. How does Rav Meir know that the shivrei luchos were placed in the Aron? Meaning, he said the shivrei luchos were placed in the Aron as well. So how does he know that? Nafkalei mi de Rav Huna. He learns it from where Rav Huna derives it. Dam Rav Huna ma'idich siv ha'shenikra sham shem Hashem tzvakos Yosef akruv malav. That the pasuk says the shin mem. It says twice, right? That it's shenikra shame shame. Not shem. It says shame shame Hashem tzvakos. That it says it twice, once for the luchos and once for the shivrei luchos. Melamed shaluchos v'shivrei luchos munachos baron. Very interesting that the luchos and the shivrei luchos are both being referred to as shame. They are both the shame Hashem. The Ramban writes in his Hakdama, it's his commentary on Chumash, that kol haTorah kula is shmosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That all of the Torah is the shame Hashem. We derive the chiyuv to recite a birchas haTorah before learning Torah in the Gemara and Brachos from the pasuk ki shame Hashem nikra. The Kishem Hashem Ekra, Hava Gadol Elokeinu. That when we call out the Shem Hashem, we give Gadol Elokeinu. Torah and Marsha understands Shem Hashem means when we learn Torah. Torah is Shem Hashem. The Luchos are representative of Kol HaTorah Kula. It could be, according to some Midrashim, the original Luchos actually had Kol HaTorah Kula written on them, not just the Aseres Dibros, but even if it was just the Aseres Dibros are like headings for Kol HaTorah Kula. The Gaonim figured out how to fit all Taryag Mitzvos into the framework of the Aseres Dibros. So they're certainly representative of Kol HaTorah Kula, and therefore it is the Shem Hashem. So it's from shame, shame that we derive the Luchos Rishonos and the Luchos Shnios in the Aron itself. The Idach, and the other opinion would say that Umi Bayle lich Rabbi Yochanan. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Meshum Ben Yochai Melamed Shashem v'Kol Kinuyav Munachim Ba'aron. That the Shem Hashem and all the other Kinuyim of the Shem Hashem were placed in the Aron. Vidach Nami Bayle Lahachi. But doesn't the other opinion also need to know that drasha? Einochinami El Shivrei Luchos Munachim Ba'aron Minalei. So you're right. Shem Hashem doesn't teach it us. How do we really know that the Shivrei Luchos were placed in the Aron? Nafkalei Miditani Rav Yosef. We derive it from what Rav Yosef taught. The Tanya Rav Yosef, Asher Shibarta Vesamtem, Melamit Shaluchos Veshivri Luchos, Menachem Ba'aron. It says, Asher Shibarta Vesamtem. So Vesamtem, with that which Shibarta, you are Vesamtem. So not only are the Luchos, but even the Shivri Luchos are placed in the Aron. V'idach, and the other Shita would say, no, Ha'umi Ba'ilelech Resh Lakish. I need that pasuk to teach me Resh Lakish. It's more famous drasha. Dam Resh Lakish, Asher Shibarta, Amar Lakosh Baruch Lemoshe, Yiyasher Kochacha Sher Shibarta. What do we learn from Asher Shibarta? That Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yiyasher Kochacha Sher Shibarta, that he gives him a Yiyasher Koach for breaking the luchos. Says Rashi, Lelamdecha Shehu Min Advarim Shasa Moshe Rabbeinu Lavshol Midaito V'Skima Daito L'Dasa Makom. This teaches us that this is one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu did Midaito, and he was Mechavein to Dasa Makom. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning where Rashi Mesach Shabbos explains, Asher is Lashon of Ishur, that you have Hashem's Ishur, you have Hashem's stamp of approval on this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mishabeach him for breaking the Luchos. The in the Mesach Zivamas Rashi says Lashon Giyasher, like a Yasher Koyach that he was giving him for breaking the Luchos. Rabbi Kiva Eger in Gilyon Hashas explains Asher is also Lashon of Yasher because the Aleph comes in the place of a Yud. So he says you have that sometimes. So Ramban says, how do I know to darshan the word Asher? A lot of times the Torah just uses that word and we don't darshan anything from it. It's like a filler. It just means, you know, it's just a word that helps the sentence flow and make sense. So Ramban suggests that even Rabbi Yehuda's Dorish Asher Shibarta V'Samtam, that you should put the Shivrei Luchos in the Aron, and it's from that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to put the Shivrei Luchos in the Aron, that Rabbi Yehuda learns that the Shivrei Luchos must have been a good thing. Meaning it's not that it's from the word Asher alone. It's from the other drasha. The drasha we made is that you put the Shivrei Luchos in the Aron. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want the Shivrei Luchos in the Aron? If this was a terrible sin, you know, why would you want a remnant of such a terrible Aveira to break the Luchos in the Aron. No, it must be that that is how Hashem showed his approval. It wasn't that he said the words, Yasha Kochacha Shashibarta. He said, put these in the Aron, and that's the ultimate sign of the approval of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ramban has other answers, but that's one of the answers of the Ramban. Let's see the Gemara Vayta. Tan Rabbanan, Sidran Shal Nevi'im, the order of the Nevi'im is as follows. Yeshua Shoftim Shmuel Melachim Yirmiyahu Yecheskel Yeshayahu Shnei Masar. That's the order of the Nevi'im. So, Frak the Gemara Michti. Hoshea Kadim, Tchsiv, Tchilas Tvar Hashem, Bo'Shea. Hoshea really came first because the Pasuk says, Tchilas Tvar Hashem, Bo'Shea. Sounds like Hoshea was the first amongst those Nevi'im. So, V'chiyim Hoshea, Dibur Tchila, V'lo Mimosha Vad Hoshea, Kama Nevi'im. What are you talking about? There are so many Nevi'im between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hoshea. How could it be Hoshea was first? V'am Rabbi Yochanan, Shea Tchila L'Arba Nevi'im Sh'nisnabu Bo'os HaPerek. He was the first of the four Nevi'im that were Misnabe in that point in history. V'elu'ein Hoshea V'yishaya Amos Amicha V'liktimei L'Hoshea Bereisha. So if that's true, why doesn't the book of Hoshea come before the Sefer of Yishaya? So Kivin D'Chsiv Nevoah Say Gabi Chagi Zechariah Malachi, since his Nevoah of Hoshea was written in the Sefer Treyasar, together with Chagi Zechariah Malachi, the Chagi Zechariah Malachi, Sof Nevi'im Avu Chashu L'Ba'adayim, and Chagi Zechariah Malachi happened to be the end of the Nevi'im, so that's why Hoshea is all the way late at the end. So V'lichtvei L'chudei V'lichtimei, so it should have written it in its own separate Sefer and had it come first, meaning why is it together with Chagi Zechariah Malachi? I did desert or Mirkas, because it's such a tiny little Sefer, it would be lost if it was put in its own separate sefer. Michti Yeshaya Kadmi Yirmiyahu Yecheskel Litzmi Yeshaya Bereishis. Yeshaya came before Yirmiyahu and Yecheskel. So why doesn't Yeshaya come first? So Kivan de Malachim Sofei Churbanav Yirmiyahu Kuli Churbanah. Since the theme of Malachim at the end is about Churban and Yirmiyahu is all about Churban, Yecheskel Reisha Churbanah V'Sefer Nechamta, and Yecheskel starts with Churban and ends with Nechama, V'Yeshaya Kula Nechamta, and Yeshaya is all Nechama. Samchinu Churbanah L'Churbanah V'Nechamta L'Nechamta. We try to have things arranged based on themes. So we put Churban next to Churban, Nechama next to Nechama. That's why it's Malachim into Yirmiyahu, so it's Churban into Churban, into Yecheskel, which starts with Churban but ends with Nechama, into Yeshayahu, which is all Nechama. That's the reason for the Seder. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll begin tomorrow with the Seder of Ksuvim.